Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 welcome to you all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and you have arrived at the radio broadcast, the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love to me are completely BS. Bait and switch for my purposes, but you can take BS any way you want to. If it's not love, it's BS. It's something else other than normal, healthy, beautiful, functional human relationships. We've been here for about, oh my goodness, we're climbing up on almost 6 years doing this. I'm so blessed and proud of this project, this love project. Every week for almost 6 years, I talk about one subject, one word, love. So that's why you've come here, I hope. And if you haven't, well, welcome to our broadcast. Come on in, get comfortable, pull up a chair, listen intently. If you're in your car, just turn up the volume a bit because I've got something very special to bring to you today. But before we get to the subject for the day, I always open with a couple of normal, but not normal. I mean, normal in terms of the routine of it, but it's beyond normal for normal human existence. I start with Love's Creed, which I wrote many years ago, and I don't consider it normal. I consider it far and away beyond mediocre. If I don't mind saying so myself, it's an excellent personal creed. So I'm going to give that to you in a moment, and shortly after that, I'll lead you in the Lord's Prayer. But here's Love's Creed. I want you to listen to it intently as I walk through it in total, and then I'm going to come back, and I'll ask you to repeat after me. All right? Here it is in total to begin with. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there it is in total. Now let's go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me like a bride and groom at a wedding, a marriage altar. Just repeat after me. All right, here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, I know it seems a little unseemly for me to say it because I wrote this, but I love Love's Creed. It resonates with me deeply. It holds me steady when other things get unsteady, when the world around me is shaking with hate. Love's Creed brings me back to my own senses. So I enjoy sharing it with you. And speaking of sharing it with you, if you'd like a copy of this, be my pleasure to send you a copy. Nothing required in return. I'm not going to ask you for an offering. I'm not going to put you on a mailing list. I'd just be happy to send you Love's Creed in total. You could write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries is all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. Send me your request, or maybe you've got questions for me about this broadcast or suggestions for something I could do in this broadcast that would be of interest to you, as long as it has to do with the topic of love. All right? RandyDeanMinistries@gmail.com. Now, the Lord's Prayer. I spend up just a moment every time we do this to explain to you this is the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. That should never be taken for granted. This is the most prayed prayer in human history, and it is full of value, truth, and power. It's a wonderful contemplation and meditation, something I say every day at least once, to hold my heart and mind steady. So if you know the Lord's Prayer, join me. If you don't, just listen to it like you would a good song, all right? Here it is. Let's pray together in the manner in which Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, imagine saying the very words of Jesus. And I know they've been edited through the centuries, but it is essentially his thought, his word, and his prayer that he invites us to join him in. Wow, that is to me stunning and breathtaking. I never, ever get used to just saying it like I don't even think about it. No. It resonates with me deeply. Okay, I told you today, I didn't give you the premise for today earlier. I thought I'd tease you along a little bit here. I'm going to take a subject that I've hit on and off through the years here, but I want to spend one of my broadcasts on it in its entirety. Jesus said that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others was the golden rule he gave us. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In that regard, it's important, and this is the subject for today, it's important to know what it means to love yourself, to have a healthy, balanced, beautiful, significant, life-changing self-love that isn't selfish, but it's profoundly accepting of yourself for who you are, what you've been made, the image of God that is you. You are made in the image of God. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, you are made in the spectacular, the magnificent image of God. And to love God is to find a way to bring love to yourself, for yourself, so that in a balanced and beautiful way, you're holding true to God, and you're holding true to yourself. I think some of the worst moments of my life, if I want to take it to a personal story or two, the worst moments of my life is when I denied being Randy, when I wouldn't live my life with a healthy and significant self-love, but I gave over to others who told me to be this or to do that, or, oh, you can't do that. Nobody will listen to you if you do that, or if you do that, you'll be breaking some Bible command. Oh, boy, there's another subject for you, breaking a Bible command. Well, by the way, eating shrimp is breaking a Bible command, so don't drop a quarter in me right now and get me started. But yeah, some folks say you're going to break a Bible command if you love yourself. Well, what are you going to do with what Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, which implies rather strongly to have some kind of reasonable and settled self-love? There's a lot of ways to come at this, but in for the purposes of today, in my final 15, 20 minutes here, I want to read to you from a book that I have fallen in love with, and there's a pun intended there, by Felicia Morrell. She's written a couple of books about love, and this one is called The Restorative Power of Love in an Either-Or World. And on page 168 of her marvelous book, she says something that absolutely makes me sit down, breathe deep, as we'll do at the end of the broadcast today, and think deeply about self-love. I can't improve on her words, so I'm going to read it to you. There's about two paragraphs. Now listen to it carefully. After you've invested hours of your time, energy, and resources, do you feel there is a valuable return on your investment? Too often, we go numbly through our lives, not checking in with our own hearts. You don't have to settle for the next rote thing. You can say yes to the next alive thing. Where is the place and who are the people that energize you and make you come alive? Find that place. Discover those people. Build friendships. Enjoy community. But don't ever sacrifice your own mind to be part of some tribe. When the chants of "we are something" overpower the song of "I am," you might want to pause and ask yourself, is this really healthy? Be you. These words are, oh my goodness, like a profound drum solo in my mind. I'm not a drummer, I'm a guitar player, but I've heard a couple of drum solos that make me sit down and breathe deep and jump up at the end of it and clap. That's how this quote hits me. I want to sit down, soak in those words. I want to think deeply about it. And then I want to jump to my feet and give it a standing ovation, even if I'm the only one standing in that ovation. Be you. And my addition to this is simply to say you cannot be you unless you love you. Unless you've come to terms with self-hatred, self-abuse, self-critical moments that turn into days, moments that create a meditation. And yeah, meditation can go sideways and it can become this daily mantra of self-critical miseries that you've pound into your brain. Look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, or you find a way to just throw metaphorical rocks at yourself. I want to invite you today to love you, to love this great and magnificent image of God that is you and you alone. Only you can love life the way you are created to love others. But in order to love others, there's going to have to be an acceptance of you. To know you and to know that you are the worthy object of God's love, which creates in you the capacity for a healthy, reputable, recognizable self-love. I understand that there's a miserable way of being a narcissistic little bundle of selfishness and self-indulgence. I'm not anywhere near that. I'm a galaxy away from that kind of thinking. My heart, my soul, my mind is about being you and loving you. You know, all of the world around us is a created magnificence. I'm a stargazer. I'm a sky lover. When I look up in the sky and I recognize I'm looking at a thin slice of the universe. And in this thin slice, I'm seeing billions and billions of stars. Even though I may not be able to have any means of counting them, I recognize that even the little light smudges up in the sky might even be another galaxy full of another billion stars. All of that is the creative genius of love, whose name is God. God is love. Love is God, and God splashed the universe into existence at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. And the universe expands even while we're speaking. And in that expansive beauty, God looks at it and says, I love this. Now keep that in mind and recognize that in all of this creative, entrepreneurial divine genius, we must remember one of the specific creations of God. And remember that out of that specific creation, you are deeply, profoundly, beautifully, oh, significantly loved by God. And in that love from God for you, there's an invitation to love yourself in the most holy, healthy way you can. I just simply believe the nature of our personal experiences and our personal challenges have been shaping us all through our lives, shaping us to take this baseline image of God, and then out of our experiences, our pains, our sadnesses, and our joys, our laughters, and our tears, our grief, and our dancing, all of that's made us who we are. And out of that gift of personality, God created you specifically to know yourself with a love for you that does not require you to surrender that one gift, who is you, into some amalgamation of other people so that you become them, but not you. See, I'm convinced of 50 years of being a pastor and gathering people in church that if I have to push and shove people into a mold to force them to be like all the other people sitting in the pews, I have done far more damage to that one soul than I could have ever done had I even been hateful. Because what I'm doing is I'm stealing the image of God from that one person. Love created you. Love created you to be a standalone human being, bringing the singular expression of love to all the wide world around you. No one can love life the way you love life. And so in loving life, may you rise and shine and love yourself, so that out of loving yourself in the most holy and a holistic way possible, you can look at your neighbor, whoever they are, whatever they look like, whatever life they live, you can look at your neighbor and love them too, because you have the security of loving yourself. You have the security of knowing in yourself that no matter who your neighbor is, however sideways in the world you may think they are, however wrong their opinions might be, and there are some wrong opinions, trust me, I get it. I probably have a few wrong opinions myself, but my point is, whoever they are, whatever they think, they are worthy of love just as you are worthy of love. And in order to live in this world, we're going to have to start with a self-love that is strong enough to look at whoever, whosoever will, and love them too, right? Here, I want to read again Felicia Morel's quote from The Restorative Power of Love. Let me start from the beginning of those two paragraphs. After you've invested hours of your time, energy, and resources, do you feel there is a valuable return on your investment? Too often we go numbly through our lives, not checking in with our own hearts. You don't have to settle for the next rote thing. You can say yes to the next alive thing. Where is the place? Who are the people that energize you and make you come alive? Find that place. Discover those people. Build those friendships. Enjoy community, but don't ever sacrifice your own mind to be a part of a tribe or a collective. When the chance of "we are something" overpower the song of "I am," and you might want to pause and ask yourself, is this really healthy? Be you. Thank you, Felicia Morel. This book, The Restorative Power of Love, is about being healthy in the middle of a either-or world. And wow, do we ever live in that either-or misery where the competition for "I'm right, you're wrong, shut up, sit down, and listen to me because I love you." Well, that's not love. That's codependency. Fix, manage, control, recruit, convert, manage somebody else's life more than you just look in the mirror and manage yourself. It is my goal, it is my hope, it is my purpose today to invite you to something about love that is often overlooked, which is a reflection and an inventory of your soul and your mind and how often you beat yourself up, or how often the words of others. Now, let's talk about that a moment, how someone else comes along with a critical statement, a critical mindset, a judging way of living their life, and they slam into you with words that are painful and hurtful. They slam into your serenity, and they steal your serenity with their lack of serenity. What do you do with that? How do you recover? I would suggest, well, it would be nice if there are other people in your life, and I sure hope they are, who can come along and just bulldoze that BS. They can bulldoze how people harm you, how people criticize you, push you around. Hopefully you've got somebody, and maybe several somebodies, who can step up and say, oh no, you don't deserve that. You're better than that. You're a good human being, and I love you. But if you don't, and that worries me if you don't, but if you don't, then look in a mirror. Stand up as straight and tall as you know how. Find in yourself the capacity to discover the image of God that is you, that you bear this image creator. You bear that love from this divine entrepreneur whose love is astronomical, as that love is riddled all through the entire universe. And then this God, this creator, loves you and wants to install, instill, and mold into and knead like you knead the dough of a bread till it's ready to be baked. He wants to knead into you love that can become a holy self-love. Another way I might put it is it would become a confidence that no matter who doesn't love me, I know I love myself. And then from that springboard and off of that trampoline, spiritually speaking, I can leap into loving others. I can afford to give love because I am abundant in love. I have the riches of God's love and a holy self-love. Be you. Don't be somebody else. Don't rise to somebody else's shining. That's their job. That's their calling. You arise to your shining. Be that one and only you that you alone can rise to. Making sure that along the way, yes, if it cascades over to some kind of selfish, narcissistic misery, somebody can call you on it. And surely if they do, they do it with love. And I don't mean just, hey, I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you and then beat you up. That's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. But I'm talking about somebody who's truly, dearly a friend, a significant other, a trustworthy someone can call you and say, look, you're hurting and you're being unaware of your selfishness. Let me help you. Let me pull you back from the precipice and get you back to loving your neighbor as you love yourself without being narcissistic or self-serving in it. I hope this makes sense. And I hope somehow, some way you're resonating with this. I have a sense that somebody somewhere is sitting a little quieter and a little more at attention to my words today. I really believe this because this is something that isn't discussed often enough in churches and in spiritual circles. I think sometimes we're just afraid to go there because we might ignite somebody to be selfish. Well, okay, that's a risk. I get it. But it's a risk that Jesus took when he said, love your neighbor as yourself and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I'll tell you, I'd like for everybody to do unto Randy some outstandingly good things. So I'm going to do to my neighbor some outstanding good things because that's what I expect back for me. It's what I long for me, and I'm going to give out what I long for me to others so that it is reciprocal and that it is ever increasing and it's give and take and give and take and give and take. All right, well, I got to bring this radio show in for a landing today, and want to spend just a little extra time with the conclusion remarks here because they so imply what I'm talking about in self-love. I know breathing Sounds like self-serving. Well, then hold your breath and see how long you can do that. That's not self-serving. That's survival. At the bottom of all of life is just simply breathing. On the count of three, I want you to breathe well. Breathe deep. Serve your body with a good, deep breath as much as you can. Hold it down against your belly. And after the count of three, take it, then hold it for the count of three, and then exhale for the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Inhale. One, two, three. Exhale. One, two, three. Whew. That's good for you. If you're not breathing well, you're not living well. We are often so stressed and beaten up psychologically, emotionally, that we don't take good, deep breaths for ourselves. Learn that healthy measure of cardiovascular attention as a love for yourself, knowing that self-love promotes love for all others. All right, I want to take you to the next exercise, and that is something that you can't fake. Look somebody in the eye with deep intention and say the three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language. And those three words are these: I love you. You see, the more we have healthy self-love, the more those words come out of that Grand Canyon of beauty when we give somebody something that many people are starving to hear. I love you. With eye contact, with real intentional slowness, not rapid firing it. I saw somebody I didn't know the other day tell this adult, she was just had run across her mother and father, and they had hugged, and she turned around, and as she's walking away, I heard her say, "Love you guys," and she kept walking. And there was something about that moment that I wanted to run over to her and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 stop! What if that's the last time you see your parents?" Her parents look to be in their 80s. I thought, "What is it? What if this is the last time they'll ever hear that? How would you say it differently?" I didn't. I have some self-control, but it did give me pause to think. So measure your intention when you say, "I love you." All right, well, I'm going to tell you once again as I bring this to a close, the biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we have time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said it this way: go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Well, I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I'm here to tell you I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. And I am unavailable for anything less. And to that end, I take as much care for myself as I know how to love myself, so that when I see my neighbor, or if I see my enemy, I have built into myself enough healthy self-love that I have a deep deposit of strength and strengthening to love anybody around me. Do I do it perfectly? No. I'm in a process, not perfection. I'm running a marathon, not a sprint. I'm not doing this as some kind of little slope I'm walking up. I'm on a mountain climb, and I'd better do it wisely. And I'm inviting you to climb this mountain of love with me and go out there into this world and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. Let's rise and shine and be the people of love and beauty. Happy trails, and God bless you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.